American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, January 10th, 2005, with my special co-host, Samarian.
Only on Mondays.
Who's, that's just for now, until finally we get the sponsorship, enough donations in here, in which case we can both go full-time, and then it'll be all Sean and all Sim all the time on Rant Speakin' Radio. really speaking news with
news
Rant.
Where we speak.
The speaking rant news. Yes, yes, it's true. And I was checking out some of the episodes of Rant Speakin'. That's some good stuff. I mean, you...
Fucking liar.
I was checking it out. Why am I a liar now? Just because I come out and I say, I was checking that out, and some of it's pretty good.
It was mediocre to fair.
Oh, what do you want from me here? Jeez, yeah. I can't win. First it's like, you're a fucking liar, and now you're like, oh, well, now I didn't say it was good enough. I would just...
Well, that's good. That's good you liked it.
Well, yeah. Gee whiz. Are you going to get back on the air soon or what?
I am on the air right now.
Oh, yes. That's right. That's right. So stop emailing Sam about RantSpeak. It's not coming back. Blame
oh, they've
me.
Already forgot about it. It's been a week. They forgot about
oh,
it.
Oh, have they? Yeah.
Short-term attention. Memory.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm getting all the time, too, now. I'm getting all this email this week. Oh, holy response to the show, eh?
Yeah.
Like, what a huge response.
That
like,
is encouraging.
It is very encouraging, you know, because I've got a lot of needs here. I'm a very needy celebrity. I need lots of people reassuring me and stroking my ego, you know.
You're so good, Sean.
You're so good, Sean. I'm like, do you think so? Oh, do you really think so?
Are you sure?
Blah, blah, blah. You know, totally, yeah.
They
that's,
love me. They really
they
do.
They love me. They really love me. But it's cool that, you know, everyone's on there. And this is the Monday show. Now, the Monday show, as everyone knows, the shows are starting to develop a sort of a consciousness Project 2501 sort of show. You know, it's kind of moving along here. Shows evolve. And it's handy when I do hand motions when we're on the radio, too.
It
you
does.
Know?
It so really enhances.
It enhances the multimedia
anyway,
experience. Yeah.
Because I'm here and I can see them.
That's right. You can. But realistically, the shows are starting to evolve. So here's my ploy. You know, Mondays suck ass. I don't care who you are, anywhere in the world, Mondays generally lick the sweaty goat nuts.
Monday.
It's gay. Okay, Mondays are generally, you know, sort of a bad day. So I'm thinking that the Monday show should be a little bit more conjecture, a little bit more fun, let you know that, you know what? Yeah, we're not...
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the Sean Kennedy Show, where we've done nothing but illegal drugs in order to get ourselves in a good mood, because that's the only way we can with all this horrible news I have to bring to you today. But, no, seriously, it's nice to know that, you know, hey, we do actually are winning the battle. Sim's playing with the cords because I've got them
like
all.
Short leash on your mic.
Yeah, well, I like having a short leash on my
strain
microphone.
When you pull on it, everything falls on the floor.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shit, man, I dropped my lappy top.
Sean was trying to poison me before the show.
I wasn't trying to poison him. You know, he's got the health food drink. I'm trying to keep you alive, okay, is what I'm trying to do over
poisoning
here.
Poisoning the health food. Thing.
No. Well,
but
we had
very tasty beverage.
The wife picked it up. Yeah, it's this this berry mixture, you know, it's no
it's
berries
were
harmed.
It's got some orange juice, stuff like that.
All, you know, good health food store kind of stuff. And so I figured, you know, the only thing it was missing was some spiced rum. So I threw some spiced rum in there, and it was Captain Morgan. I mean, it was the good stuff.
Yeah.
And I dropped that in. And
I noticed it immediately.
He did. You know, he did. And
take it away.
And he cast it out. He cast it aside. And I'm sure that there'd be any number of people who would be able to stand up and say, why, Sean, I'll take that spiced rum in my healthy drink. So
it's
instead,
too late. Sean is drinking.
Yes, I've downed it since, and now I'm finishing off my coffee and my Kahlua. Because, hey, when this is actually recorded, just so you know, we actually record these the night before they go on the air. This
lies.
This isn't done, you know, right prime at 6 a.m. in the morning. You know,
I drive over to Sean's house at 6 a.m. and then drive back to work.
That's right. Actually, we live together.
Yes.
The whole concept of me being married and all that, yeah. It's
it was a lie.
Yeah, that's
we
right.
We hired that girl.
Yeah, no, but in all honesty.
She was a good actress.
Yeah, she's very good. Yeah, she's
very convinced. You got the rings and everything going on.
The rings and the dog and everything. That's rented. You know,
we live in a squalor one-bedroom apartment.
That's right. Which is why we need your donations here at Rant Media. If you want to help us get out of this squalor apartment, stop living in sin so we can be married like any good
Pass
gay
the
couple
mac and
should
cheese
be.
Over.
That's right. Then you can go visit the rantmedia.ca, and apparently I'm told there's a button there to donate.
It says donate.
Does it say donate there?
Yeah.
Great. Because there's nothing I love more than having to, you know, prostitute myself on the air and beg for money. But,
Sean,
you know,
can get off. The ramen noodles.
The ramen noodles. Which, did you know how much fucking fat there is in a set of those noodles?
Really?
Like, they're, oh my God, they're like you're supposed to have like a small, to have like a low fat diet. You're supposed to try to keep it below like 18 grams of fat a day. Those things have between like 9 and 12 grams of fat just in those things there.
So
like,
you only need to eat one a day then?
Oh, well, so yeah, easy, but I mean, everybody has like two or three of those because they're the only ones you can eat raw, you know, you get pour hot water on them, you know, and you got the Ichiban thing happening.
I got a closet full of those things.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you're not eating any of them.
No.
Because they got eggs, right?
No, these ones don't have eggs in them.
They're eggless ramen noodles?
They are vegetarian friendly.
Well, Sim is now drinking this weird rooibos tea. Now, this tea is this antioxidant tea that I feed him. When he comes over the house. Because, you know, somebody's got to keep this
Cleans
vegan
Cleans all my
alive.
Oxidants out.
Well, that, as we all know, vegans are dying. All the vegans are dying. Everybody tells people vegans are dying.
That's
you
right.
know, you're going to die.
Been dying
so.
For 6 years now.
That's right. Yeah, 6 years. And it's partially my fault because he's actually a vegan because of me. Because he was in the hospital, you know, getting some big thing cut off his neck. And I showed up with, you know, oh, hey, maybe you should check out Diet for New America. And that was it, man. I mean, it was.
That is my holy Bible. Now.
Yeah, he's there's no looking back, you know, and I feel really bad.
The chickens, Sean. The chickens.
They got the chickens. But, you know, I mean, I would really like to be vegetarian. I would, but I really just have a hard time. Now, do you remember what the name of that stuff was? They were putting this stuff in the food, and I've been thinking more and more about this. Those addictive chemicals. They're chemicals that they add to food
MSG?
Supply. No. MSG is actually, MSG is really scary. You know what MSG looks like if you put it under a microscope?
The little flakes of
razor blades.
Razor blades.
Yeah, because they cut your, that's how they
cut
make
your
things.
Tongue, yeah, make it more receptive.
Your taste buds and stuff. Yeah, apparently. Really, kind of deranged.
Yeah.
But no, these other ones are chemicals they add to food that do nothing except are addictive. Yeah.
I seem to remember something
about that. Yeah, I'm starting to remember that too. If someone could drop me an email about that, that's...
like caffeine and sugar and
No, caffeine and caffeine makes you go fast.
Yeah.
And sugar is the white death, right, which we're also horribly addicted to.
It's mentally addictive, though, those things.
Yeah, those things are... Well, no, caffeine is really addictive. Caffeine isn't like we're pretending we're addictive. It's not like, you know, these some other drugs that have, like, you know, questionable results or whatever. But, like, caffeine is... Oh, yeah, there's no screwing around. You get a good coffee habit on the go. Cut the coffee up.
Okay.
And that
son
of a bitch
will
be breaking
about.
Into cars. Yeah, no, there's a weird set of foods... Which are just addictive, and apparently they add them to foods to make foods addictive, so that you'll have a craving for like McDonald's fries, for example, and you'll be like, you'll get a whiff of the McDonald's French fries.
Animal fat, in those.
Yeah, it could be animal fat.
No, there is.
Or well, there is. Yeah, but
there might be something else.
But yeah, apparently they have these like weird mixtures and shit like that, so it's a little bit frightening. So if someone could get back to me on that, I know somebody knows exactly what I'm talking about. Right now they're yelling at their computer. They're like, it's this. It's like last night. I
told you 2 years ago about this.
I was listening last night. You know, as some people know, I'm going to do some cross promotion here with stations that aren't even remotely involved with us.
How could you?
I listen. I do. I occasionally get a lark out of listening to Art Bell because the entire Coast to Coast AM crowd is a very senior crowd. They're all the older crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so Art's trying to figure out, you know, and you could get it at this guy, I guess there's this dude named Bob Lazar who apparently was at Area 51, and apparently he saw all the spaceships, and apparently he worked on them, and now he's dead now. He died.
Oh,
he,
of course. Yes.
Mysterious causes.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
So, but apparently what could happen is that he had a model that you could buy. There was this Bob Lazar, you know, spaceship model, and Art Bell, of course, being Art Bell, he's the king of the Kooks, you know, nighttime radio show there. He's got one, right? And he's thinking of, and this guy phones and he goes, where could I get one of those models? And he's totally stumped on the air because he doesn't buffer at all. Like, I don't think for a moment that I'm slighting Art Bell because the guy's a ninja. Okay, he was doing
on the air forever.
He was doing 6 hours of radio prep programming, 6 days a week.
Oh my God.
On terrestrial radio for like 22 fucking years. Like, the guy is kung fu master of radio.
Wow.
Okay? Like, so before we go any further, you must understand
props
that
to him.
Oh, I have huge respect for George Norrie, Art Bell, the entire Coast to Coast crowd. I mean, those people are, they're a whole other dimension.
Oh, radio is a hard haul.
That is a hard, hard haul. And you got to be a real survivor to make it in that game, boy, I'll tell you. So, you know, that said, he's trying to remember the name of eBay. And he couldn't think, he could not think of eBay to save his life. He's like, it's on that auction site. You know, the one that, that
the
that
biggest
auction site,
one in the world.
The biggest that one that, that auction place. And he's all like, oh. And I'm like yelling at the radio. I'm like, eBay. eBay. eBay, you Luddite glasses wearing smoking fuck. eBay. Yeah, Art, we love you, but, oh, yeah, him and George and all that crowd. And then you get the old people phoning, and they're like, I was diagnosed with schizophrenia, but just before that happened, God talked to me, you know? And I love that shit. I do.
Oh,
I do, because that's freedom of expression. And it's because of kooks like that, you know, when we were at the Art Project, that, what was that thing called? It was called
Massive Movement Change.
Massive Change is Coming, and Beware of Massive Change by Monsanto. And
sponsored by Monsanto.
Sponsored by Monsanto and the Gates Foundation and all the rest of it. But honestly, when we were down there, we were looking at this. There was like this huge timeline on one wall, and it was all like these things that had been invented in the course of history. And
right.
And in one section, away from everything else, with no date beside it, was a little quote from Noam Chomsky, which was, "If we do not believe in free speech, if we do not believe in free expression for those we despise, then we do not believe in it at all."
Which is completely true.
Which is totally true. Now, this brings us back to England, because I got some feedback. Now, I've got a story on Thursday, one of those, where I had heard for the first time, because, you know, I guess I'm pretty out of the loop, that you need a license to have a television in England.
Yes.
Now, this, to me, if I was to tell, that was so unbelievable to me that I'm like, this has got to be a hoax. There's no way that, you know, whether they got the license, there's a dog license, cat, like Eric the Fish license, you know, no, it's got to be bullshit. But apparently, I get this email here, check this out.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I have to confirm that we British do pay a yearly licensing fee for our televisions. It's done on a per household basis, although we should look forward to a fee license when we reach 75. I doubt I should be able to fill the application by then. The fee is collected by the TVLA, Television Licensing Authority, which generates about $2.2371 million, $4.436 million American, which almost covers all BBC expenditures, all money going to the BBC as a public service.
That's pretty cheap, in fact.
Is it?
$4 million for all of BBC programming? Oh, my God. A year?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that do a lot of shows.
Yeah.
That would pay for about 4 shows on American television. 4 individual shows. Episodes.
Yeah.
Seinfeld getting $1 million an episode.
Now, the problem I have with this, though, the problem I have with this is that these TVLA guys, these TV, you know,
we hear you have televisions here. I have no televisions. We hear you have televisions here.
Like, I'm totally...
yeah, that part.
You know, searching your house, looking for televisions, not really on with that shit.
They have the authority to go into your house and search for them.
And furthermore, it ought to be a subscription basis. You know, I think if let's say now I go get myself, and I think we should do this here, there ought to be like enough channels out there that, you know, people could just make a channel, and if they want to make it public broadcasting, let's give the BBC some competition. You know, why not have like another channel that you subscribe to or something like that? But I don't know, it's just the whole...
Well, that's Americanized television.
Yeah, I guess.
Because we pay for the stations that we get, and if you don't pay for anything, you get the over-the-air stations.
Well, you can't really live without... I mean, a lot of people are like...
Or fuck television.
Yeah, you could say fuck television, but I mean, all of us at a young age, we learned about the world through television.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And God, and we're still paying for it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And does that apply to monitors, too? Like, if they got a computer monitor, do they have to pay a TV license for that, or...?
No, only if you can pick up BBC television.
So how can they tell? Like, why don't I just get
go wow, 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 wow outside your house and see if you're getting the frequencies, if you're beaming them in.
So...
But the scary part about this.
What about TV tuner in your computer?
Yes, you
have
to pay for that. Yeah. If you pick up and watch their programming, you pay for their programming.
Yeah, I'd like to see how they're tracking that shit, because I'm sure that can get hacked.
I'm sure. Somebody was talking about putting it in a Faraday cage, so you can't...
Is that what they're called, those Faraday cages?
I believe so.
Yeah, because I want to build one. I want to do that in patrolling.
Then they'll never find out I'm watching TV.
Yeah, I got my Faraday cage on my lawn. Fuck you, queen.
But the part I don't like is when the television sales over in Britain... They have to report if they sell a television. They have to write down the person's name, and they track when you bought the television. And they go, oh, then they go to your house and see if you're paying. And they correlate the databases.
Well, what
I
if you
hear
say
you bought a television.
I sent it away as a gift. To whom? I don't have to tell you that.
Yes, you do.
Get the comfy chair. The whole thing's... That's Kiefer sent me this email to confirm that. But, I mean... I guess, you know, the BBC puts out some pretty good programming. They're kind of heralded around the world as being...
Yeah, their news, number one.
You know, they're pretty switched on.
Their comedy, number one.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, they haven't really done anything fantastic in the comedy world since Python was there, and they can't
Python.
Really...
Python.
Yeah, Python, but Python...
Red Dwarf.
They're all... Okay, Red Dwarf is okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Red Dwarf is okay. All right? But it's not South Park.
South Park versus Red Dwarf.
Yeah, I'm sorry, like... It's Red Dwarf.
Doctor Who.
Okay, Doctor Who.
Shoestring budget, $4 million a year for everyone in BBC.
Yeah, well, then
again. Doctor Who, you get $2,000.
Doctor Who.
Get the tinfoil.
Yeah, but I mean, that's raw creativity right there. Doctor Who is all about
the story.
I'm all about the story, but I don't know. It seems weird
it's
to me.
It's good and bad. It's a bit Big Brother.
It's very Max Headroom, very Network 23.
Yeah.
You know. And before we go any further, where's my books? What'd you do with the books?
Over here.
There they are. I went down because, doing a lot of...
See the books? I'll hold them right up to the microphone.
Right up to the mic. Oh, you can see them. Well, we'll make that flipping sound. Here we go.
Oh, the books.
Oh, the books. The beautiful books. Nothing like a good set of books. Now, of course, when in Vancouver... it's very hard to buy role-playing books anymore. As a matter of fact,
hard to find them.
Well, there's a place out in Mission that sells them. There's a place in Richmond that sells them, and there's a place down on West 4th in Vancouver that sells them.
Oh, what's that place?
And the only place that I like in West 4th in Vancouver is my buddy Drexel, because Drexel was the guy who did What the Hell.
That's
he was
right.
The guy who's been around it. And essentially, if it wasn't for Drex, I probably wouldn't have even started getting on the air anyway, because realistically, we used to come by and all party. But now he's got a place called Drexel Games down on West 4th, and I went down there, and he gave me a killer deal on my Cyberpunk 2020. Now, this is a role-playing game of the dark future by Talasaurian Games. And apparently, they're coming out with third edition.
Nice.
But it's great stuff, because I'm looking through here, and it's between this and the other book, which I have here, which is Shadowrun, of course. Now, if neither one of you are familiar, or neither one of you, neither one of any of you.
The two listeners out there.
All two of you. If you've never heard of Shadowrun or Cyberpunk or any of that stuff, these games are great to look at because they've been around since, the 80s anyway.
Well, the date on that book that you're flipping through is 1990, the earliest publishing date that I saw in there.
Okay, yeah, but that was probably in its full form. They did have some stuff, late 80s, early 90s. And the whole cyberpunk thing is based on, the whole Max Headroom, sort of like not as clean as The Matrix. That was the one thing that was kind of down. Understand The Matrix is actually my favorite movie series of all time, but if there was a complaint I would have about it reference to cyberpunk, which I could open a whole big can of worms here for all the hardcore fans out there, but it's that it was too clean. The Matrix was extremely clean. I mean, naturally, they were in...
Well, it was a sterile world.
Yeah,
it was
a sterile world.
In a computer,
it was a fabricated world.
Do you want me to find that for you?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. No, we got it here. We're almost there. I'm flipping through the character archetypes. And I found one for Sim here, which is, just as you have in Dungeons & Dragons, you got mages and everything. Well, in this one here, they have, these crazy things like solos, which are in Shadowrun, they call them street samurais, and in real life, we call them Ronin.
Right.
And then you have techies, and, of course, then there's the medias. Now, who does this sound like to you here? Medias, newsmen and reporters who go to the wall for the truth. They're bending the truth out there, and you've got to stop them. This is straight from the book. This is page 14 of the second edition of the Cyberpunk Manual. Someone has to do it. Corporations rule the world. They dump toxics, destabilize economies, commit murder with equal impunity. The government won't stop them. Their own government. They own the government. The only thing between corporations and world domination is the media. And that's you. You've got a video cam and a press pass, and you're not afraid to use them. You're a national figure seen nightly on millions of TV sets worldwide. You've got fans, contracts, and you own... and you own and your own corporation backing you. They can't make you disappear. When you dig down for the dirt and the slime, the corrupt officials and corporation laptops try to cover up, you can dig deep. Next morning, you can pull the details of all their crimes all over the screen sheets and vid screens. Then the government has to act. Well,
sounds like a mix between you and me.
I think that's more you, really. I really do. I'm way cooler than that.
Yeah.
That's me.
Of course.
I'm way more cool than that.
Yeah.
But that's just totally cracks me up because this is from like the 90s.
Yeah.
And here we are, like, you know, 15 years later.
Yeah.
And like,
Same thing.
I grew up to be my character. How did you know?
I filled out my character sheet and I am him now.
And that's actually something to be said for that. I mean, there's nothing wrong, I think, with sitting back down. And I thought about this the other day, actually getting a piece of paper, writing down your strengths and weaknesses. Like, if you don't know how to play role playing games, it's probably lost on you.
Well, you could explain it.
Well, you have your strength, your intelligence, your wisdom, you know, and depending on where you're, rate yourself on the game.
I is dumb. 3 on intelligence.
You know, and you rate yourself between a scale of 1 to 18, and above 18 is like godlike and stuff like that. And you go through it, and then you list all your skills and a percentage. And the percentage would mean that if you have 50%, you have a coin toss chance of succeeding and blah, 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 blah. And
right.
This is all what happens. And I really believe that when you look at yourself on paper, it's really kind of liberating. Because when I look at myself... No, really, it is.
Or it wakes you up and go, wow, I don't know nothing.
I mean, when I look at my weapon proficiencies, I'm like, Jesus Christ. You know, should I even be allowed to walk around on the street or what? I mean, you know, because through the Army, I mean, I know how to use just about everything, you know, that's available. I've got, you know, my contacts on the web and everything. I mean, seriously, it's kind
of... That'd be a neat thing to do. Just go through it, write down what you know.
It is a fun thing to do. And a lot of people, I think it would help with their self-image. And that way they can see where they wanted to improve. And they
see where you're lacking. It's like, oh, I can't do this and this. So maybe I should concentrate on this.
Do you have a girlfriend? No. Well, let's you know, work
on... Strengths, weaknesses of having girlfriends.
Exactly. And I think that's a cool thing to do. Which brings us to... the email portion of the show, only 20 minutes in, and we've got finally to the second segment of the story. Whatever. It's Monday. You've got all week to get depressed. Don't worry. Got to break it in early here. For this episode of Sort Yourself Out, we have a letter from Purdin. So here's the deal. I had 3 girlfriends. 2 of them cheated on me, and the other one I dumped because she was a racist, and I often taught... Sorry, hang on. I had a run-on sentence that got away from me. So here's the deal. I had 3 girlfriends. 2 of them cheated on me. The other I dumped because she was a racist and, well, oftentimes mean and dumb. Now I'm single, once again. Now, and I'm working full-time graveyards.
Ooh. At a gas station.
Soul killer. And, well, I'd like to find a girlfriend. Now, I'm not that well built, but I'm built like a fat fuck. I do 100 sit-ups a day and walking wherever I need to go. Now, here's the problem. Okay, so you work graveyards at a gas station all night, and you're a fat fuck, and now here's the problem. It's not help me find the girlfriend thing. It's more or less where I can meet people in Vancouver. Here's the problem.
You live in Poco.
Well, dude, you're totally like, you blasted me for reading out last names of people donating. Why don't you just give this guy's fucking
Everyone
home address?
Everyone knows Burden. It's okay.
Yeah, but... this is like reaching people in Warsaw and Poland and stuff, you know? I mean, I don't know, the poor guy.
Well, you said Vancouver.
I said Vancouver. There's a lot of people living in Vancouver. Sim told me to read the last names out of the donators. Sim told me to do it.
I said not to.
Okay,
he has a new list now. He doesn't know any of your last names.
I don't know anybody's last names. We've gotten huge shit for that. Huge shit. They're like sending us emails like, we'll pull our donations. You read my game again, you fuck. And I'm like, sorry. So for anyone I pissed off with that, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. That was really dumb for me to do that, actually. That was just a stupid thing to do. Reading it.
And now, after Patriot Act 2,
it seems that anyone caught donating money. People who donated to support this show are following. I will plea bargain.
I agree with every idea Sean said.
That's right. They're the ones who I try to control because they actually want to kill people. It's more or less where I can meet people in Vancouver. And here's the problem. I can't be Wednesday to Saturday as I'm under the... can't be Wednesday to Saturday and I'm under 19. Thus, I can't get to clubs or whatnot. So
milk bars.
So we have Sunday until... So from Sunday until Tuesday, when he's not working graveyards, I've got an overweight nerd who has no way to meet people. And he wants me to come up with a way for him to meet people. Now, you seem to know Purdin.
Purdin, yes, quite well.
You
all
know
too well.
Now, how do you know him?
Through Rant Meets.
Through Rant Meets?
Yes.
Oh.
You've probably met him, too.
Have I?
Possibly.
Well,
maybe not.
I don't like to draw faces to names, actually. I don't like to do that because it makes it a lot more personal. I can't really give unbiased information.
That's correct.
Well, meeting chicks is
difficult. He just said meet people, didn't he? Not chicks? Or
well, he wants girlfriends. I've had three girlfriends, and he wants to meet people for the purpose of meeting chicks. I'm imagining.
Yes.
Now, the problem is with our culture, we're generally an isolationist culture. We have a tendency, we are online, we have our contacts, we have people we know. And whenever you meet people, if they're male, female, even there's no sexual dynamic there, it's awkward meeting people you only know through online sources. It's very weird when you meet them the first time, I find.
Yes.
I think it's twisted.
Like, you're not at all like your words on the screen.
Yeah, and you're kind of like, you know, so it's kind of funny.
Probably different for them meeting you. So I've seen you millions of times.
Well, you know, and everybody makes, you know, fat fuck comments and stuff like that. And people wonder why I have this eating disorder now. But anyway, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, well, how do you... First of all, the dude hasn't told me any of his interests. You know, he's told me everything that's wrong with himself. And he hasn't told me anything that's right with himself at all.
So you're going to have to just guess.
Yeah. So, but I mean, no, this is pretty common. It's like,
he likes the internet.
I'm a loser and I don't have anything that's going on. Well, if you're talking to me, you probably like tactical stuff. I guess Airsoft is illegal in BC now. Came out that they can't sell Airsoft stuff, Dave's. It can't
sell it, but you can still use it.
Well, yeah, but you want to try to explain to the cops when? Why do you have this illegal? You can't. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where'd you get this? When did you get it? Do you have proof that you got it? Oh, guess we'll have to confiscate that. You know,
yoink.
So that's totally what's going to happen there.
Nice.
I think that the best thing to do would probably be to get yourself something that you would do that needs other people to do, like say. Oh, if you're artistically inclined, an art class is good to meet people, and then try not to be an asshole. the number one way to meet people is personal hygiene. There's a reason why the first episode of Patrolling, I was going off about the importance of being clean. Seriously.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
If you stink.
They're trolls. A lot of guys are trolls.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, I showered on Tuesday. You know, they totally are that way because, you know, I'm married, so I've got a chick who's like, get in the shower. You know, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of geeks out there who just kind of waller in their own filth. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, and the trick with exercise is not to do a bunch of exercise. That's bullshit because all you do is burn yourself out. The trick is to do a set exercise every day and then cut your ho-ho consumption back. That's the idea. You can exercise till you're blue in the mouth. If your diet's shit, then you're done. So
yeah, you're just fighting against
drink
the food.
A boatload of water and switch, cut pop out of your diet, drink water, and go for a walk every day. Wow, look at that. You magically lost 25 pounds right there.
And now you're looking better.
And you at least shower once a day.
And you're cleaned up. Cleaned up, looking better.
Now, when it comes to, as well, you know, before we get to the point of meeting people, you got to be presentable. Okay, so... If you need to be presentable, go to one of these large chain thrift stores where they have used clothes, you know, wherever. And a lot of people say, well, you know, Sean, why should we? Well, this is the costume. Okay. There's a difference between overt and covert. And we'll be going into that next season. But
of patrolling.
Of patrolling, yeah. not of this. But there's a point when, you can get all kitted out and you can dress like you're going to the bar and you go to the bar.
Yeah.
And there's dress like you're going to work and then you go to work. Now,
everyone does that.
I don't agree with it myself. I think you should be able to dress one way the entire way. But see, people have this social pressure, and it gets all up in your face and blah, blah, blah. So this is a problem.
Yeah.
So I think that what you should probably do is take someone who you think knows what they're into, if they're attractive people or whatever, usually a member of the opposite sex is good, you know, and get them down. And if you are, you know, like me and you have no concept of what's going on, you know, look at a body type. If you're overweight, then dress yourself so that you look halfway decent. You know, don't be walking around in spandex. You know, don't wear jogging suits 24/7. You know, and dress halfway decent. Look at Kingpin from Marvel Comics.
Marvel, yep.
Kingpin was a fat fuck.
But he
wore a nice suit and he looked good all the time, you know? So I think a lot of it has to do with personal appearance. Now, beyond that, okay, you want to get involved in, like, groups or social groups where you have an interest. If you're into martial arts... Take a class. Go to meets. Become involved. Smile when you meet people. Shake a lot of hands.
Yep.
The worst thing that'll happen is you'll get called that you're too eager or some crap like that. Go check out conventions, anime conventions, stuff like that. There's lots of people. Lots of stuff.
Lots of chicks there.
Yeah, and there's lots of stuff to do at these conventions and crap.
Yeah.
I mean, there's and from these conventions you make contacts and news groups. And before you know it, shit, you need a palm. Just to, you know, keep track of everything you're doing.
Yeah.
So that's about it. You know, people will go, well... You know, I can't meet anyone. Well, first you got to look at what you got to offer other people when you meet them.
Yeah, what's your strengths?
Yeah, because if you've got nothing to offer, you don't believe in yourself, you can bang that no one else is going to believe in you. I rip on myself all the time. But that's okay. I'm allowed to do that because I have 10 million emails coming to me every day telling me how much I rule. Okay, so that's
balance it out.
Yeah, that's why I do that. And, you know, I'm hopelessly needy. I'm needy with modern media. I'm needy. Needy.
Mark this date in your calendar.
That's right. More honesty here on Rant Radio. So, moving into the news.
Okay.
Let's get into the news. We're 28 minutes into it. Wow, the show's just flying by. Cyber bullies. Now, this is an interesting one. Cyber bullies. They're not bullies. They're cyber bullies. We all know about high school bullying. We all know about high school bullying. Yeah, because we know about jocks. But have you heard of cyberbullying? It's real. And LaRanger High School students have been arrested. And three are LaRanger High School students have been arrested for it. As WAFB's Marie Centeni reports, student bullying may have gone too far. It was okay when we were just breaking their faces and wiring their teeth and smashing their heads into the drinking fountain. That was cool. But you say some shit online? Whoa. Investigators with the Attorney General's High-Tech Crimes Unit says the situation started when a 15-year-old female student created a website called LaRangersBiggestQueer.com. The website featured fucking what the hell. The website featured pictures of a 14-year-old. I swear to God, man, the website featured pictures.
A featured picture.
That's pretty good. Of a 14-year-old male student. Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-oh.
He responded with his own...
14 years old!
He was 14 years old! And he responded with his own website, which investigators say included a list of students he called the Preps. That's really okay. Menacing that he called them the Preps. And poems! So graphically violent, investigators say they crossed the line.
The line?
The line?
There's a line?
The line? Strange talk for a poet. Chris Wartell with the Attorney General's Office said it was sort of like bullying on the internet that got even worse.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's a quote. It sort of was like bullying on the internet that got even worse, and we're lucky it didn't escalate to something even worse again. That's a quote. End quote. Quote.
Again?
Swear to God. Quote.
With the Attorney General's office, and this is what he said.
He scares the shit out of me. It sort of was like bullying on the internet that got even worse, comma, and we're lucky it didn't escalate to something even worse, end quote. That's what this rocket science Chris Wartell with the Attorney General's office said. After seeing the boy's website, he tore out his eyes with a coat hook. I made that up. After seeing the boy's website, a concerned parent, ooh, that somehow makes it, you know, justified. I'm concerned about the parents. Alerted that the Tanga, what the fuck word is that? The
Tangapahoa.
Tangapahoa Parish Sheriff's Office. What? Is this even a real Parish Sheriff's Office? What is this, like, you know, alliteration?
Alliteration town.
The Attorney General's high-tech crime unit was contacted and began immediate investigation. Wow, they must be some bored people. Authorities confiscated the students' computers. Your computer's gone.
That's it.
That'll help them.
Weapons.
Both students were arrested, as well as 18-year-old Joseph Sanchez.
Just for good luck.
You dirty
Just
Sanchez. Who was charged with contributing to delinquency of a minor.
He sold them the mouse they used on the internet.
Authorities say Sanchez helped younger male students set up and maintain his website.
Oh, my God.
The pair called themselves 8 Balas and targeted students they called the Preps.
They're still searching for the trench coats.
When you have students making threats to other students or groups of students on the internet. Oh, hang on. This is another one of these brilliant statements from Fuckwit here. When you have students making threats to other students or groups of students on the internet, talking about killing someone or blowing up the school or shooting a certain group of people, then there's a feud...
That's one sentence, by the way.
What the hell? And when the fucking clown explains Wartell, who can't explain shit, who hired this guy? What was your previous job, pal? Writing stereo instructions? That's when you worry about something escalating or becoming the next Columbine. These days, you have to take threats seriously. The next Columbine. You had to throw that in there.
Columbine.
The next Columbine, because we know they're out there. The school system is taking it seriously as well and decided Friday whether to expel the three students for the remainder of the school year. All the students involved are honor students. All of the students involved are honor students. That means that they're able to keep a grade point average of a B or higher.
Yeah.
Okay? Cyber stalking is a relative felony, which means a judge can decide if it's a misdemeanor or a more serious felony crime. So it's up to the judge to decide whether or not he wants to do it. It's punishable with a $2,000 fine or 1 year in jail for a poem about preppies. Anyone seen the film Heathers here? Anyone at all? Christian Slater's film, yep. Heathers. This is nothing new. Don't feed me some line
but
of shit.
But it's on the internet, Sean. It's crime.
I'm sorry.
We got to make up new laws.
First of all, Sanchez, who told a kid how to build a website, ought to be given a medal for passing on information without a license. Okay, thank you for doing that, Mr. Sanchez. Now, the fact that the two kids got into a flame war because, you know, one called the other one gay, I mean, there's no reason for federal involvement here. This is bullshit. Yeah. They're honor students. They're not going to go beat each other up. What do you think they're going to, in between studying for the biology exam, they're going to go pick up a gat and go wax buddy for calling them queer? This is, that's there's no possible sort of...
arrest them all.
You know, shit, just burn them. You know, they're children and they got computers.
Medicate them.
That's so, yeah, oh.
I think they went off their medication.
That's what it is. Yeah. You know,
they're under-medicated.
And that's a problem. And I had an epiphany about this. I'm glad you brought that up because this medication thing is really cheesing me a little bit here. Now, I've gotten a bunch of email from people who, you know, I'm always off about medication.
This is a big item.
Big issue medication. Now, people go, Sean, you know, and I've had people say, I'm on Zoloft right now, but... You know, I want to get off of it because you said it's okay. Now, listen up. Okay, listen up. When we're talking about medication, this is a very, very dangerous world we're entering here. And we call it medication because we don't like to call it drugs. Okay, because that's what medication is.
Yeah.
They're drugs. And when you enter the world of drugs, you're playing with your brain chemistry. And when you play with your brain chemistry, you're playing with the root of the entire system here, okay? If your brain chemistry takes a shit... Okay, there's really nothing you can do because you've got, like, kernel core software problems, and you're done, okay? And you've only got one mind. So when you have these companies that are handing out, like, Xanax and Zyban and all these, you know, corporate medicated brands that cause, like, anal seepage and the fact that Prozac causes suicide rates to go through the roof, you know, and this is all widely known stuff, but no one's really talking about it. It's all, you know, people go, oh, he's on medication now. And the feeling people get when they say, oh, he's taking medication is one of relief. They
go, good,
he's on medication.
He'll be more balanced.
He'll be more balanced now.
Balanced.
Now he'll be more, you know. Now,
no ups, no downs.
No ups,
balance.
No downs. And what does this medication do? Well, no one really says what it does. Or when they try to, you know, they could give you a bunch of chemical stuff. But when they say, how does it make you feel? They always say, well, it makes you more balanced. It brings everything back into focus. Brings you back to level. You know, that's what it does.
Level.
What it does is that it destroys the imagination. Is what these drugs do. And I've given this a lot of thought. Now, back in the 80s, when role-playing games like Shadowrun, like Cyberpunk, were all getting burned in the streets by Focus on the Family. You know, from the same people that brought you the internet comes the tipper sticker, and so on and so forth. And I'm still a little bit pissed about that. Thank you very much. Maybe it's my Irish side, but Tipper Gore fucked
still
over
here.
Jell-O Biafra back in the day, so Al Gore can basically kiss my ass.
First person prosecuted for... music.
Yeah.
Making music
was Al Gore's wife tried to nail Jell-O Biafra to the wall. So before we all go thinking Al Gore is the shiznit with his new independent TV and all that sort of stuff he's trying to do, don't you even kid yourself for a minute that son of a bitch wants nothing to do with independent media. That's the last thing he's looking for is independent media because his wife is all out there trying to regulate everything that could be considered to be a thought crime. So sorry. Nice try. Not too interested. Shame I have a memory. But, you know, that's just how that works. Not that I'm all carrying a grudge.
No.
Well, yeah, I am carrying a grudge. That's bullshit. That pretty much, That's what killed Jell-O. I mean, Jell-O's a great guy, and I thought it was really sick. What happened to the guy over that? If you need to check that out, download or acquire some of Jell-O's stuffs from I Blow Minds for a Living or Tales from the Trial. To a couple of spoken word albums available on Alternative Tentacles. Really, really good stuff.
High Priest of Harmful Matter.
High Priest of Harmful Matter. And when you listen to Jell-O and you listen to some of these news reports, you can clearly see that there I was, all I was of 24, and somebody, you know, I can't use his real name, but the guy who introduced me to the dead Kennedys. Hey, Kennedy, hey, you know about the dead Kennedys? And that's how I found out about Jell-O by Afrog, and I thought this guy was going to stab me. I'm like... You know, I'd be like, well, Sumerian, ever hear of the dead Sumerians? I'm like, no, but I guess I'm going to find out pretty fucking quick. I'm gonna make a statement on the show here that no one's really made yet. And has anyone, when they're considering, you know, they go see their doctor, you know, and they're about to go on medication. They're about to take that step.
Here's the free drugs these companies gave to me.
You know, here's a blue pill and a red pill and a pink pill. It's like the Matrix. Take your pills.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they'll be telling you. Has anyone considered natural source before they try that? Has anyone tried, like, say, valerian root or St. John's wort? Has anyone experimented with that stuff? And if you could try it, if you could try the vitamin thing, like, do the vitamin B6, like, get a good multivitamin thing, get some herbs, and try those first before you do the drug. I'm not saying don't take your medicine. I'm just saying before you get into that, let's do a 6-week cycle of some, you know, nootropics and brain meds you can get at a health food store first.
Why not?
You know? And if you wanted to go further than that, what am I trying to dance around here? Everyone wants to know what
I'm dancing. Try some of the more advanced medication.
Try some other advanced medication that may or may not be illegal that grows
in some states, provinces.
In some states or provinces that grows freely available on weeds on most sides of the roads. But honestly, though, no. But seriously, like I would try natural sourced materials before I would try any kind of government medication. And I'm not saying don't take the government meds, because eventually, I mean, you know.
But you know what will happen if you take the government meds.
But if you take the government meds, we all know that your brain turns to goo.
Yeah.
You know, you turn into, you lose your imagination. And the thought I had about this is because I grew up with role-playing games, which I still highly advise to anyone. And honestly, I met most of the best friends I have now through gaming groups, which is funny. Yep. There's a real statement made about memory. And I'm doing a lot of reading about Marshall McLuhan. Of course, all the Ghost in the Shell stuff is just feeding that, like going out of style.
Yeah.
But there's no way to tell the difference between a memory that you have of like something that you dreamt. And a real experience that you have. There's no way to tell the difference between those memories.
No, the only way you know that it was a dream is that you just woke up.
That's right. Now, the thing is with role-playing games, there have been role-playing games where I have physically seen the battle in my mind. You know what I mean? Like, I was there. I was rolling. We were all fighting, and buddies were saving each other's lives and everything.
Yeah.
And at the end of the night, you've got these memories of this epic battle that you went on.
Right.
So, in essence, since they can't tell those memories apart... Could it be argued that on some level that really happened?
Yes. I'm sure there are some philosophers that happened.
That's some interesting stuff.
What happens and what not happens. Like,
exactly.
It's still in your head. It's still a memory.
And all the people who are diagnosed creative out there, and, you know, I'm sorry, you're too creative. We have to medicate the living snot out of you. The line that really kicks in with me is, the greater your imagination, the stronger is your sense of self. Because really, who you think you are, and I'm not going to get too heady on you here, but who you think you are is based upon your perception of yourself. Now, you have influences where, you know, you watch, you know, Escape from New York, and you think, damn, Snake Plissken's badass. You know, and he wears the leather jacket, therefore I want to wear a leather jacket because I think Snake Plissken is badass.
Right.
So you go get a leather jacket, and you take some of that persona, that personality, that archetype into your person because you wish to emulate this. And you never do it, like some people do it, you know, they get all otaku about one guy. Like there's the hardcore Matrix guys, or there's the hardcore Henry Rollins guys, or whatever.
Go straight down that path.
Yeah. Or there's the people who enjoy the many facets of people who are similar, and this makes up the culture, where you have the cyber culture, where everyone's, you know, doing funky stuff with their hair. Everybody's, you know, online, and it's that whole culture that springs from it. But all of this is based upon your imaginary perception of yourself, how you wish to view yourself, and that's firmly rooted in your imagination. And Einstein was the guy who said the imagination is more important than knowledge. And everyone was like, oh, it's not clever. And they made a bunch of posters out of it, and it's everywhere. And imagination is more important than knowledge. But you've got to bear in mind, Einstein was a little bit ahead of his time there, and maybe there's more to that statement than we first imagine. Maybe there's more to imagination than a lot of people give it credit. I mean, I've oftentimes wondered if I have a dream or something, and I'm traveling in a city of, you know, blue emeralds, and it's all these or sapphires or whatever, you know, this glass city, and there's creatures like giant slugs who are speaking to me. I've never seen that before. That isn't a rehash of something that happened at work. Yeah, you know, you have dreams about stuff at work and stuff like that, and you can see where these dreams come from. What about these dreams where you're flying and you're next to some beautiful woman who you've never seen before and she's telling you things? And where does that come from? Is that because you ate some bad pastrami and now, you know, you're flying with a beautiful woman? Because if so, load me up on the pastrami there, Batman, or pastrami. Because, I mean, that'd be just killer. I don't know. I don't understand how that whole thing works. To be honest with you, I'm not going to try to figure it out because there's a lot of guys out there. Deoxy.org, Terrence McKenna did a lot of deep stuff and going into the jungles and eating all kinds of crazy shit to try to figure out, you know, what the essence of human nature was. And this is the real essence of the human condition is who we are and how we got here and all this kind of stuff. But this is the stuff. The imagination is the visualization of the mind's eye that allows us to have perception of self and allows us to relate to the world around us. This is all processed through the buffer of the imagination. And this is exactly what these massive pharmaceutical companies are trying to control, is the imagination. You know, oh, you should keep your head out of the clouds is what they used to say. You should get back down to earth. You know, these wild and heady concepts. And now, even at my work, where I'm at right now, no one there is really online. There's a couple people online. The Oracle, a girl down there, she's online.
Okay.
But most of the managers and stuff like that are all like, you know, softball jocks and hockey jocks and all these other jocks that just, you know, kind of all keep it together and they do their thing. And it's kind of, they don't have any sort of perception of what life could be. Or you talk to them about heady concepts about like spatial exploration or robotics and, you know, the future and hope for the future. I would argue that cyberpunks of any culture have the most positive view of the future. Because when you look at the Star Trek crowd, right, you have the Trekkies and that whole nerd herd.
Oh, they're super positive.
They're super positive, but they have no, they're escapist fantasy.
Yes.
You see what I mean? They're like, oh, the transporter didn't work, you know, and the Prime Directive and the notion of high command out there, so commanding everything. Right. Whereas the cyberpunk culture is like, yeah, we're on our own. It's just us. We got huge, massive corporations with millions of dollars using state-of-the-art weapons and medication in a humongous mass media programming complex, which has dominated our culture. And we are the last few stragglers of rat-like vermin living on our own filth to stay alive. You know, I mean, that's what cyberpunks get off on.
That's
that
their
shit.
Outlook that's on the future.
That's the goods, man. That's yeah. Welcome to Dark City. You know, that's where we want to. That's where we want to be. And yet, even through this amazingly dark system of oppression and Orwellian tactics and Patriot Acts and all this kind of stuff, which now, I mean, you pick up these cyberpunk books now, and they may as well, you just change a few titles of some of the plot lines, and that's, we're in modern day.
Oh, I fear the self-fulfilling prophecy of these books.
Yeah, they are very, very frightening, and there's been a number of people that's gone, wow, man, like corporations using, you know, stun guns and all the weaponry
but
is now starting
happening.
To be... Yeah,
it's
of course it's happening.
Frightening.
Of course it's happening, because of the foresight of the imagination of those people back in the 80s.
Well, all the
90s,
sci-fi writers, they're the ones
you betcha.
The scientists take from. It's like, oh, that's a good idea. We have the technology now to do it.
Oh, absolutely. And unlike just any specific writer, when you look at role-playing games, these are really the first open-source culture concepts where you have everyone writing in
it's
with...
It's like, make your character.
Oh,
make your
a character,
city,
and how is your character different yet the same? How does it fit into our culture yet the same? And whenever I think of things, you know, when I come up with these crazy ideas to do these massive events and I want to involve lots and lots of people, I come up with names for them. I call them cyberpunks. I call them flesh trippers. I call them deckers. I call them wogs. I call them this. I call them that.
Yeah.
The reason why, no one ever asked me why I did that. No one ever says, why did you do that? The reason why is so that we have some kind of cohesion. So we have some sort of unity. Okay, so that we're not just falling on each other like rabid, you know, hyenas. Because the minute somebody exhibits error in our culture, in the online culture, in the hyper-accelerated hacker cyberpunk culture, we turn on them.
Attack.
And we go, well, you call bullshit and I'll rip you in half. Ah, Sean, and what does it do? How does it do this? And because of this, I think that you're a liar because you asked whether or not we like your hair. You know, and this is not, and that's not a direct rip on that guy. You know, I'm really not trying to rip on
him. It's good to question.
But it is good to question. It's good to question to a point and to know what things need to be questioned. If a guy's just wondering, you know, sometimes I want to have a Coke, you know, I'll admit that shit. Yeah, I have the downroot desire that I'll go buy me a pop. And I don't want to really be.
How could you, Sean?
I don't want to be labeled with, you know, all this Roman Catholic cyberpunk guilt. I'd be like, oh, God,
stones.
I'm drinking my Coke and I hate my life. I'm a horrible person.
Drink your hypocrisy. Yeah. Drink it.
How's that hypocrisy taste? Pretty good. You better with a little bit of rum, though. You know, and that's totally it. We've got, it's not how much can you do that's perfect, because we set these perfect standards for ourselves every day with meeting people and stuff like that, and it's just not the case. You know, we'll never measure up to these standards, especially the standards that people have. Like, I will fall down. Thank God I haven't, you know, like, thank goodness I didn't, you know, sleep with any young nubile fans, or that I'm not gay.
Be all over.
You know, like, oh my God, I'd be by the wayside, you know, and so what if Clinton got a blowjob? You think no president gets blowjobs because he's president? I promise you, George Bush is getting his cock sucked right now. You know, I mean, seriously, who cares? What does that have to do with anything? Just because some president gets his dick sucked, that doesn't mean that he was a bad president. It just means he got his dick sucked. I don't understand how this, you know, this discrediting and defamation and all that, what that has anything to do with anything, anywhere, at any time.
Yeah, it comes back to how what does it do and how well does it do it?
Exactly.
Is he a president? Does he do a good job?
I mean, Winston Churchill would never make it as a leader today. You know, the guy wouldn't make it.
Too hardcore.
He fucked up. The first time he did something, he totally failed his first mission. Everyone was like, that's okay, we still believe in you. You know what I mean? And because they needed a leader. And leaders do stuff like that. You kind of need some guys sometimes that are a little bit more nasty.
Yeah.
You need people who stand up and go, wait a minute. You know what? Hold it. That's the only reason why I'm popular.
It's like, he's a really, really good guy. He fucks up sometimes, but on the whole, awesome.
But he's honest, right? You know? And he's not bought and sold like some kind of commodity. He's not in nobody's back pocket. You know what I mean? Give him a good college try. Let the son of a bitch go. I mean, if George Bush really thought about Iraq... What, am I peeking everywhere?
No.
I'm out of time, aren't I?
Running very short on time. We better skip
minutes,
to the end.
Dognut sent me a story about George Bush paying off the media. Nothing new there. Tax collection by bounty hunters. That's a link on there from by Christopher Brasciulli. That was a story about how they're going to be privatizing.
Scary stuff.
Yes, very scary
stuff.
That's
not what we need.
No, all these links you can get off of my LiveJournal site, okay? So check
those
out.
Still good stuff, right?
It's good stuff. In other news, a U.S. agrochemical giant, Monsanto, has agreed to pay a $1.5 million fine for bribing Indonesian officials. Nothing new there. Another story about how a kid got arrested for drawing famous art pieces in a museum. That was
nice.
A good one. This is a sketch-free zone. You're not allowed to imitate any of the past masters. You go to jail.
Oh, wait. The copyright is expired.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah, so much it has. No Salvador Dali for you, or no Vincent Van Gogh or anyone else. Miscarriage. If you have a miscarriage, you could go to jail. That's a new law they're trying to pass. So you want to check that one out. These are good ones. Underground photos are trying to make it illegal for you to take pictures in the subway because you'd be taking pictures in the subway, and of course that's illegal.
That's awful.
And I had a nice kind of interesting kind of grim piece about how it takes 1,500 hours to transform a corpse into a full body plastinate. That's what they call them, a plastinate, not a replicant, a plastinate, not a replicant. So that was mostly my Opinion Ed Monday show with my co-host Samarian. If you would like to, actually, before we get into that, I should give my token. That's all I got for you today, even though I rambled on, but hopefully you enjoy it. Don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. Unlike today, where I will just give you links to the information you need to stay alive.
Yeah.
This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of people who I love more than anyone else in the world. Jesse, Lars, Michael, Matt, Andrew, Kevin, Derek, Eric, Jason, Peter, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Timor, Greg, Richard, WebLife, Drake, Matt, Evan, Brian, Ashton, David, Austin, Jonathan, Adam, William, Trevor, Jonathan, Mark, Kitsune, Art, Matthew, Christopher, Kyle, Justin, and Matthew.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you so much. You people rule the world. And these are the people who have actually put their money where their mouth is, and I appreciate that very much. But I do appreciate you listening as well, because word of mouth is a powerful medium of which we can well, transfer ideas. Mm-hmm. If you would like to keep this daily news broadcast on the air, however, please visit rantmedia.ca, click on donate. And special thanks to the reporters who sent me the stories, which I didn't talk about today. Dognuts, Kiefer, Ash Groovy, The Grey Ghost, Matt, Barbed Wireless, Speaker from Flagstaff, Arizona, and Wagga War. And make sure you tell me where you're, just give me a region so I know where it's coming from so I can tell what my demographics are. I get off on it. I like knowing where in the world you're coming from. And everyone who gave me assistance in gathering data, thank you so much. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And I will, I was talking to Pig Monkey, I'm going to be setting myself up with some encryption pretty soon so I can get some secure comms going on in case you've got some really, truly sensitive stuff you need to out. And if you like the music in the background, you can only get it by buying, I think, the second edition or the collector's edition of Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, the DVD, because okay. It comes with a soundtrack CD in there. It's kind of a little
exclusive.
Little weird. Yeah, it's in the back. I mean, I'm sure there's other ways to acquire that.
Oh,
but
I'm sure.
That's how I acquired it anyway, because I'm a Ghost in the Shell fiend. That's all I've got. We're going to leave you right now with a song by, I think it's MDFMK on this album, not
MFDM.
I think it was MDFMK.
Yeah, one of those guys.
And Witch Hunt. Until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.